speaking of labs and vaccines and billionaires and globalists, let's talk about Bill Gates, shall we?
All right. I'm not comfortable with the way that you put all those things together.
They're all together, aren't they?
I just don't, you know, I'm sensitive to being accused of like, oh, you're, you know, we're not.
But haven't you learned when we talk about conspiracy theories, as we say, Philip, right? A conspiracy theory is just a spoiler alert for what's to come 6 months from now. Like all of the stuff that people were called conspiracy theorists about a year ago, 2 years ago, has come to pass.
Yes.
Right? Has happened. Has been exposed. So, you know, I'm proud to be a conspiracy theorist because that means that we're onto something.
Yes.
So, all right, go ahead. So Bill Gates is in a little bit of hot water.
Well, South Dakota Republican Representative Dusty Johnson is calling for Bill Gates to testify before the House Agricultural Committee about why exactly he is buying up so much farmland in the United States. You can read this tweet. He says, Bill Gates is the largest owner of U.S. farmland. I'm curious what's planned for this incredibly productive ag land, given that he believes developed countries like America, quote, shouldn't eat any red meat. How are his land purchases related to those aspirations? Now, of course, he then went on to tell Fox News that ownership of farmland matters. No one has buying it up more than Bill Gates. He now owns 270,000 acres, making him the largest owner of farmland. So can we pull up the map? I'm sorry, I'm going out of order a little bit, but this is actually a current map of where Bill Gates does own all of this farmland. So I'm not one to think that, you know, testifying in front of congressional committee is going to do very much. We've seen that Congress doesn't have the power to, like, put people in jail. It can recommend things to justice departments or other criminal investigations, right? But just to get him to answer for this, like, what's your plan? Especially because Bill Gates has continued to say, oh, people should eat less meat, and that would really lower greenhouse gas emissions. So does he have some kind of alternative that he's working for?
Now, he did do an Ask Me Anything on Reddit.
Okay.
I think last year, Phillip's our resident Redditor. He spends every day on Reddit. So it was last year, he was asked that question, you know, is this climate related? And he said no. He said no, that his purchases of land, it's not, and he wouldn't talk more about it, but it's not climate related. Okay, so if it's not climate related, then what the hell is it for? You know, I mean, again, the conspiracy theorist in me, again, goes to where, like, what's been happening to all of these small independent farmers all over the world that are having their land bought up by people like Bill Gates or governments or China, by the way. Like, you know, I know our friend Tucker, like, points out that if you want to control a country, you take control of their resources, right? You take control of their land. If China's buying all of your land in the United States or in other countries, that's a problem, right? If China owns the land. We see that with utilities in parts of Europe too. China, in order to become financially solvent again, sold off their public utilities, sold off their electric companies, sold off their water companies. Can you imagine, like, living in Spain, having the water that you drink owned by China? It's a reality. It's literally what happened. So this is not fantasy. So China, Bill Gates buying up these resources. You want to control people, you control their food, their water, their land. Here's how Fox News laid it out on how much land Bill Gates actually owns. Listen.
This has caught the attention of billionaire investors like Bill Gates. As of January 2021, Gates was the largest private owner of U.S. farmland. He owns around 269,000 acres across 19 states.
Bigger farmers are continuing to get bigger.
Yeah, they are. And the smaller ones are being absolutely crushed. So I wanted to play this because I thought it was really good. Vandana Shiva, okay, she is Indian. She's an Indian anti-globalist. She's an Indian scholar, brilliant. And she has a theory about all of this buying of farmland and consolidation of power. Listen to Vandana, I hope I'm saying her name right, on using food as a weapon. Listen.
Local communities, which is why hunger grows. If the world has to be fed, it has to be fed by growing food locally, to be used locally as the biggest proportion of the food basket. Some elements will be traded internationally, but what is traded internationally should not be staple foods. What is traded internationally should be that extra flavor of spices from India and coffee from Guatemala. That's all right. But to turn the world into a dependency on staples has nothing to do with feeding the world. It has a lot to do with controlling the food supply. The United States evolved a phrase during the Vietnam War, and the phrase was food as a weapon. The use of food as the ultimate weapon of control. And the tragedy is the growth of agribusiness in the US has gone hand in hand with the US foreign policy to deliberately create hunger locally in order to make the world dependent on food supplies through which you can then control countries and their decision-making ability. So hunger has become an instrument of war. And food responding to that artificially created hunger is an instrument of war. Peace means you grow food locally, you grow food locally,
right? It's something we talk about on the show all the time, right? So you're taking power away from people. You're taking their farms, you're taking their power, you're taking their livelihoods, and then when you take all of that, you control them. I mean, I don't mean to, it's not conspiratorial, it's happening.
It's also happening. Just incredibly logical and a lot more of a natural way to live, right? Your staples are grown locally. Well, then there's no carbon footprint on your apple, right? And so then we don't have to fight over imports and exports. And what's the quote you always like to say, Philip, about people take food out of the ground and lock it up and that this is like a real tool of hegemony? Can you repeat it?
Yeah, that was Daniel Quinn, where he said We take all the food which is freely given, and then we lock it up, and then we work to get some of it back.
Yeah,
right. You know, that was basically his quote.
It's really a crazy cycle that we put ourselves in.
I was in Hawley, Pennsylvania, beautiful little Hawley, Pennsylvania, and I was not too far from Woodlock, beautiful area, if upstate Pennsylvania, if you've ever been, very red area of the country. I would say it's a Republican conservative area. I was sitting at Cora's Bistro, if you've ever driven up there, having some hot wings.
Best hot wings
you'll ever have. Delicious,
in my opinion.
Yeah, Cora's Bistro. And I was sitting next to a group of Republicans, and we were talking, and they recognized me from my days on Fox News when I was a news anchor. And we were talking about the food supply, and I was talking about how terrible this super Walmart was that was down the street. And they said, don't even get me started. And you would have thought, okay, they're conservative, they're Republican, they would have been in favor of like this big corporation in their backyard. They hated it. They're like, they talked about the ground beef, right? At the Super Walmart in Hawley, Pennsylvania, if you looked at the package of ground beef at the Super Walmart, there was in this 1 pound of ground beef, 1/3 of it was like from Argentina. 1/3 of it was from China. Another 1/3 was from some farm in America somewhere, all shipped somewhere and then put together in one package of ground beef. They said, we will never touch the meat there. We won't, but we get our eggs locally at the farm here. And if we could all return to that way of living, we would be better off.
Yes.
And he talked about being, you know, that's where, and so the local farms, they were really thriving. There's some like local co-ops that were doing really well because people were saying enough is enough. I saw someone earlier in our chat saying YouTube prepper channels are being shut down.
Really?
So if someone's still watching who was talking about that in the chat, please drop it in here and let us know. It doesn't surprise me. It really, think how terrifying this is right now.
Oh, but I love homesteading channels.
Homesteading,
not necessarily
prepping.
Prepper channels.
Well, but it's all the same thing. Yeah. Homesteading, prepping, making sure that you're protecting your family.
Right.
We see it happening in the Netherlands right now, right? Dutch farmers who are having their livelihood just like Sri Lanka, just like in Italy, just like in Argentina, being told that you can't, you know, your farms are being taken. You can't produce on your land anymore because you're not meeting nitrogen requirements, right? Which is ridiculous because, you know, anyone who understands Dutch farmers know that like the production of nitrogen is incredibly low compared to the rest of the world. So they really take care of the land and they're taking away their livelihood. Here's a Dutch farmer. Listen to why he thinks it's part of a much bigger plan. Watch.
And how do you feel about the government and the way it's treated the agricultural sector?
We believe it's part of a bigger plan.
Yeah.
And that's why they need our land. They don't need our nitrogen. they need our land. 85% of land is from the farmers. And yeah, they chase us away to get land for building and recreation.
What a sweet man, you know? He's like, yeah, they're chasing us away. It's part of a bigger plan. We all as farmers agree here that this is all part of a bigger plan. It's not about the nitrogen. Here's a tweet about in favor of the government seizure. I saw this right in line with this. Bodil Neeson says, so that's the farmer's version. What if actually the reason for the government buying farmland is that the emissions of ammonia and nitric oxide and nitro oxides are far too high, two is spelled improperly there, and that nature needs space, using a little Sherlock Holmes emoji. Okay, then here's the response on that. Dr. McCall writing, because that is a fake excuse. Dutch farmers have the lowest emissions per ton of food produced in the world. Whatever the reason is for trying to put family farmers out of business, it is not to do with the environment.
And there are actually ways to mitigate this ammonia release. For instance, we covered in the newsletter, feeding seaweed to livestock is one way, right? When you talk about runoff of agriculture, growing food, you can not flood the land with pesticides if you move to drip systems. Like, there are other things that you can do to make incremental improvement to agriculture. This feels like a Band-Aid on an amputee.
Well, again, this is a problem here because, again, the incremental thing that you talk about, they're not giving them time to do that.
No.
They're literally ripping
or
the Band-Aid.
Or even heads up about it.
Yeah, they're just implementing this, and it's okay for the big farms. They can do it. They can deal with it, right? They can also buy carbon offset credits and do all sorts of other things while these little farmers are being crushed, and then they swoop in and buy up their land. Not even, you know, they just swoop in and take it. Swoop in. You can't do this? Don't worry, we'll take your land for you. We'll take it. Bill Gates will buy it. China will buy it. And we'll consolidate it. Lauren Boebert, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, also asked that question today. She said, when are we going to ask, from Bill Gates, what the hell are you doing with all this land?
Yeah.
If it's not about climate, then what the hell is it about?
I was interested in some of the responses to South Dakota Republican Representative Dusty Johnson. Lauren Boebert, she evokes all kind of emotions on Twitter, so I didn't think there would be a productive conversation around her replies. But for him, a lot of the responses were like, hey, it's free country, you can buy up land however you want, you know, which is absolutely not true. You cannot buy land and do whatever you want around it. There are government restrictions on how you use your land. And I think that it is somebody's right to ask questions if the majority of the land is, especially agricultural land, is being, you know, I don't have high expectations for the result of this testimony, but I think that we should all listen.
Yeah, here's some tweet responses. I'll put them up on the screen here to your point. Doug Moreno says, it's his land, free market and all, so none of your business. Okay, really? Well, he's a representative of the people of South Dakota, so maybe it is his business to know, what's going on. What if we found out that Disney just bought up all of South Dakota and wanted to turn it into
a theme
park?
What if he's literally breeding people like the Matrix? Is that your business?
What if it's Soylent Green? You know, yeah, what if he's making a Soylent, is that, how am I saying it right? Soylent Green. It's from people. Made of people.
Right. So, okay. I mean,
So farmers, again, Ains says, Gates is circumventing a 1932 anti-corporate farm ownership law by pledging to lease the land back to farmers after the purchase is complete. So farmers will own nothing and they will be happy. I can be a sharecropper.
Mm.
Bill Gates can be my slave master. So he can own the land and I can lease it back from him. I can work on his plot of land. Hey, him, Master Gates. This is literally what, we should all ask these questions. I'm glad he's asking this question. I'd love to have him on the show. I'm going to try to get,
Bill Gates.
I'd have a lot of other questions about Bill Gates if he would never do our show, but Representative Dusty Johnson, I'd love to have him on your show. Anyone who is in South Dakota, I'd love to have anybody from the Dusty Johnson office, please reach out. I'd love to do an interview with you, and I'd love to find out exactly what you plan to ask Bill Gates And well, we welcome that here on the show.
But Bill Gates, he has been known for his ability to see money in something and then sort of aggregate things and package them and sell them. I mean, that's sort of the inception of Windows operating system, is that he was a part of a group of hackers that were sharing software. And then he got upset about it, that, you know, the software was being, this is a great book, this is out of a great book called What the Dormouse Said, about the inception of the Silicon Valley. And was like, I don't think we should be sharing each other's code anymore. He decided to shrink wrap software and became a billionaire, gazillionaire. So, you know, I don't know, whatever that guy's up to.
Yeah.
You know, we can't give him too much credit for, but I think what we could give him credit for is knowing where to make money off of things, yeah. You know? But you know, certain politicians we saw after the first round of lockdowns, the Prime Minister of Portugal, Antonio Costa, said Portugal needs to learn from the pandemic to reduce its dependence on foreign exports. That needs to be the lesson that we learn. Start growing more ourselves, start becoming more self-sustainable. This seems to be the case globally, that reducing your dependence on foreign exports will lead to a happier life for citizens. This is just, you know, sort of another bellwether teaching us all of that.
Thank you so much for subscribing to our channel. You know, we've been banned, we've been blocked, we've been censored. That's why we started our own website, to stay connected with you for free.
That's right. So head on over to redacted.inc and make sure you're connected with us. You can sign up again at redacted.inc, not .com.